What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooting the Sports-ish here on literally everywhere. Like, legitimately, we are now everywhere. We are on all podcast places. We are on the YouTubes. And if you're checking this video out, before I introduce the rest of the show, please make sure give us a five-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell they call it these days, and hit that subscribe button, share all that good stuff. That's out of the way. I'm just here to introduce y'all to the Toms here with Fantasy with the Toms on Sundays. They're going to be talking DraftKings. They're going to be talking all sorts of NFL Sunday stuff. Let me step out of the way and let them take over. Go ahead, guys.
Welcome back to NFL Sunday. I know that through this entire year, we've all been waiting for NFL Sunday, fantasy football. I am Tom. This is also Tom.
What's up?
We're going to be going over your daily fantasy odds for week one. Week one starts off with the NFL in a most unpredictable element. And I say this because some stadiums will feature fans.
Yes.
And some will not. No. I feel, this is me personally, that it's a huge advantage when it comes to daily fantasy and spreads. Gentlemen, with the fact of fans being in some stadiums, do you feel this will affect this moving in this year?
Yeah, for some teams, it will. Just from my own experience, I can tell you the Atlanta Falcons will be a team that suffers from this. I mean, this is a team that pumped crowd noise in at one point and got caught. So now they are going to be playing at home against the Seahawks week one. So it'll be a good test to see if the lack of crowd noise in the dome will become a factor because they do play well at home, especially that defense. So it'll be interesting to see. That's for sure.
I agree. And I mean, they're going to need that defense this weekend in what may be one of the highest scoring games of the weekend. Would you agree?
It could be. I think it will be, actually, looking at the offense for Atlanta. And then you look at Russell Wilson. We'll get into him a little bit when we go over quarterbacks, but he should have a good game.
Let's pop into it now. Let's look at quarterbacks, right? So if we're looking at daily fantasy, our top five quarterbacks for price this week, we start with Lamar Jackson, and he is going against the Cleveland Browns, and he's $8,100.
Yes.
When you look at Lamar for $8,100, tell me what kind of value he brings to you at that giant price. Lamar Jackson, $8,100 salary.
Well, it's not a lot of value because you're paying a lot of money. But, you know, he's going up against Cleveland at home. My issue with Jackson is just correct. The price that you're paying for him. And so for $81,000, you know, I think there's other quarterbacks you could look for with better value. But with that said, if you had Lamar Jackson last year, you probably won your league. And so.
Right. It's one of those hard things, Tom, where you look at Lamar, right, and you look at him from the daily fantasy standpoint, you go, holy shit, that's a lot of money. But if you had drafted him, like you said, last year in your weekly, you probably won the league, right? Yeah. Or you were close to it.
Yeah, so it depends what type of league you're playing in. DFS, you might want to look elsewhere. But if you drafted him,
so the next quarterback –
what's up?
So the next quarterback on the board, we have Russell Wilson for $7,000. That is $1,100 less than Lamar Jackson. So the next quarterback on the board, Mr. Wilson for $7,000. We look at the matchup. It's Seattle at Atlanta.
Yeah.
I could see it being high scoring.
Yeah. It's expensive, but again, it's a good play, I think, with Wilson. He doesn't turn the ball over. That's, you know, I don't know how valuable that is in DFS, but it won't negate points off of you. And he's going up against a pretty weak secondary overall. I mean, the Atlanta defense gets picked on a lot. And then I expect we'll get into Tyler Lockett a little bit, but there's weapons that Russell's going to play with. So I like Wilson at 7,000.
Yeah. I like him much better than Mr. Lamar at $8,100. However, yeah. We now have Drew Brees.
Okay.
We have Tampa Bay at New Orleans visiting the empty dome for 6,800. So at 6,800, Mr. Brees is 200 less than Wilson. What are your thoughts on Drew, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, that entire Saints offense?
Yeah. Drew Brees is a fine play for 6,800. The thing with Drew Brees, though, is he's just not as consistent. He's not going to guarantee a 300-yard game like he used to with three touchdowns. He will see, at times now, sprinkled in the season, he'll see a 100-yard game. And that's very rare. So you just have to make sure you catch Brees on a good week. This could be one at home against Tampa Bay defense. So time will tell.
Awesome. So from a dollar standpoint, this week, week one, next up we have Matt Ryan. We have him at home versus Seattle for $6,700. Mr. Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Tom, do you see any value in that based on the three quarterbacks in front of him and the ones that are coming behind him?
Yeah, I think there is some good value with Matt Ryan. However, I think I would be leaning towards maybe Wilson or Brees a little bit more. I would be willing to pay a little bit extra for these two quarterbacks. The thing with Matt Ryan is he is very, very good. But Seattle's defense, they come and go. And Matt Ryan, his yards become a concern. He could throw for 300 yards. He could also throw for under 200. It's very rare, but there is some inconsistency there, especially with the talent around. You expect Todd Gurley to pick up some of the slack and alleviate some of the passing game. I don't see that happening, though. I think I'd rather go Wilson and Brees. Although Matt Ryan is a good play, I just would take their consistency over Matt Ryan's. But, you know, I could be wrong. There's a lot of Atlanta Falcon fans that are probably nodding their head no at me right now. And I can't argue that.
Sure. Off subject, just briefly, do you feel Todd Gurley's a good fit for that offense?
He can be. I think he can be. He's a much better passing back than I think he gets credit for. And so maybe they could utilize him that way. He'll pass block well, so that'll get him on the playing field. But they do like to pass first. The thing with Atlanta is they tend to get into the red zone then not score, so perhaps he'll see a lot of red zone touches, a lot of vulture points perhaps.
Sure.
So there is ways of working him in that offense.
So on our board this week, the fifth ranked salary QB is Mr. Tom Brady, who is now in Tampa Bay, and he will be at New Orleans with no fans versus Drew Brees. Mr. Brady is $6,500, so he was $200 less than Mr. Ryan. Tom, your thoughts on Brady with those five in front of you?
Yeah, he's fine, too. I kind of put him in the same category as everyone else up here. You can't argue against them. I would actually like his consistency a little bit more than Matt Ryan's, but Brady falls into the same realm as both of these players where they will have that 1 or 2 weeks where they just don't do well, even though more times than not they will perform well. So it really will come down to you, what you feel you want to spend. You know, $500 is the difference between Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. And then everything in between is Drew Brees, Matt Ryan. I don't think you could go wrong with any of them. And honestly, for Jackson being at $8,000, I think you might want to look towards the third, fourth, and fifth, maybe even ranked quarterbacks right now for week one.
I don't want to Tony Reale you guys here either, but just jumping in just to remind you, Brady is without Mike Evans this week. So $6,500 play, and he does brand new offense with Bruce Arians. He's going to have to air it out a lot more. Chris Godwin's now his number one. No Mike Evans.
That's fine.
No Mike Evans, but also we have Rob Gronkowski, who, let's be honest, his last touchdown pass may have came before most of us had facial hair. it's been a long time since he's been out there. Most people don't. That football life and that lifespan in football is not long. And when you take that long off and you play WWE and you play commercials, I'm not sure how he was going to look coming out there. And I don't think it's safe to bet on it. I think, as Anthony had mentioned, with the fact that we now have Godwin and Evans out there, it's going to be Evans and OJ Howard. And then are you going to trust the running backs in that system?
Yeah, I think Godwin is going to have a big game. He is a number one talent. Just because he's the number two on Tampa, I mean, he's playing behind Mike Evans. He'd be a number one almost.
Oh, there's no doubt how good he is. But when you take an offense that had two really good talents and you're cutting in half, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow for people who are going into game one thinking that this offense in Tampa is going to roll on all cylinders, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, I would say from a if you're betting the Bucs, that would be where your mindset might be. But in terms of fantasy play, they're going to get theirs. It's not like they're going to go out there for 60 minutes and not put up any stats.
Sure.
You know, they're pros at the end of the day. So I will give Godwin the benefit of the doubt. I'll give Brady the benefit of the doubt. And I'll give their two very good tight ends, OJ Howard and Rob Gronkowski, the benefit of the doubt. And then, honestly, Mike Evans not being there, it doesn't worry me too much either, because Bruce Arians is a very, very good coach, and he gets the most out of his players. So I think if you really wanted Brady, you can take him. But I'm kind of with you two in the realm of, you know, there's more flags here because of Evans being out than there are these other guys. And so you really can't go wrong, in my mind, with really any of these guys. I think Jackson is just a bit too expensive. That would be the one I don't touch of these names right here.
I would agree. So for the viewers listening out there, right, let's give them five quarterbacks that may not be the top five on this board, but that you may find or I may find value in. I'm going to start, and it's going to be kind of odd, right? I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. Okay. And I understand that San Francisco's defense is good. I don't think they are what they were. So Kyler Murray is $6,400. He has this nice fancy new weapon in DeAndre Hopkins, and their offensive line has gotten better. I don't think, and I understand this is the fantasy betting show, but Kyler Murray this week for me in Arizona, if I had to pick a team that was an underdog to straight up win, that's who I was going with. Tom, is there any value for you at Kyler Murray for $6,400 week one?
Absolutely. Because he will run the ball too. And he's got two great receivers. We don't really need to go in depth. Everyone knows how great the players around him on that offense are. The success of him and the Cardinals will come down to the offensive line in the long run, but yeah, absolutely. For $6,400, I would take that each week, honestly.
Great. Tom, you have a quarterback you want to toss up there, or you want me to toss you another one?
I guess it could be my turn. He's going to go into my sleepers as well, though. I like Drew Lock for only $5,600. I think he's got a lot to prove. I know Sutton might not be playing, but they have a pretty good running game. They've got a good tight end there. Drew Lock, really, I liked coming out of college. He performed very well when he played last year. He's got a full offseason under his belt. He's playing the 30th ranked defense in terms of giving up fantasy points to quarterbacks in Tennessee at home on Monday Night Football. I think for $5,000, it's an absolutely cheap take. And so Drew Lock would be a cheap take, and then Jimmy Garoppolo as well. He's like $5,800, I think. And I know San Francisco, they've been running.
So pop Jimmy on that.
What's that?
Sure. Pop Jimmy on the board. Jimmy is 58. Yeah, Jimmy G on the board, 5,800. Playing against, there's value trend. I'll put another one up there that I may have not originally thought of ever, but Tyrod Taylor,
Okay.
I have to think.
I like that.
Just based on the fact of where Cincinnati's defense is, okay, which is almost non-existent. You have a new offense around him, but he's only $5,600. When you start getting into these breakdowns, we're now talking $2,500 to $3,000 separating these quarterbacks, and you need to decide out there for your particular fantasy team, are you building around these quarterbacks, or are you going with the running backs? Tom, I'll give you one more shot. Is there another quarterback you'd like to pop in on that board? You find some value in week one?
I like these. Other than Locke, that's really it. I mean, I guess you could look at Newton, but he's a bit – he's up there. He's above
he's in the
1,000 realm. So I don't know if that's value, but I think it's worth a look if you have a little bit of change after you do your lineup and you're like, oh, I have a little bit of extra money. Maybe look towards Newton and maybe look towards Rivers. Those would be maybe two names.
I thought that too. Yep.
Just because of the defense.
Agreed. Agreed. So if we clear this board down and we're going to move on to the week one running backs, and there is some paychecks coming for people who are picking some guys. Mr. McCaffrey is going to be the highest person in DraftKings Daily Fantasy across the board at $10,000. Mr. McCaffrey is 10,000. We look at this. We have the Raiders coming in to Carolina. Tom, that's no fans in Carolina. Is that correct or incorrect?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that. If you're talking about the loyalty of the fans, no. In terms of being at the game, I'm actually not too sure what Carolina's policy is going to be. I will tell you this, though. I don't think whether or not the fans being there or not being there is going to make a difference. I've been to Panther home games numerous times. To me, it's, not throwing shade out there. It's just not one of the stadiums I would consider true home field advantage. So I don't think it'll make a difference.
Sure. So at 10,000 for Mr. McCaffrey, how do you feel about this? That is 1/5 of someone's total salary.
That's a lot. I mean, if you like him, you're going to pay for that. You can't if someone is gung-ho on paying $10,000 for Christian McCaffrey, you're not going to argue them out of it because they're set on that. That's the player they want to ride with. I would be a bit weary because it's a new system, new player, new quarterback. He did make Kyle Allen look good back there, and defenses – we're zoning in on him a year ago, and they're going to do the same this year. So I can't say that's going to be a weakness because he overcame it already, but it's there. And so for $10,000, you have to ask yourself, is that worth the price you're willing to find out which Christian McCaffrey you're going to get, a good one or one where defenses finally hone in on him because they're really not focused on anyone else on that offense.
Sure. I agree. Second back salary wise is Delvin Cook. We have Green Bay at Minnesota. Delvin Cook is $7,900. Mr. Cook is $2,100 less than Mr. McCaffrey. Tom,
big drop.
I can't in good conscience pick Christian over Cook for those prices.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Could you?
No, I see your point here. Cook is good. The only issue with Cook is his health. So if he's healthy, he's definitely worth a take at that price. I mean, look at the difference there. You're saving a lot of money. So I think that's
such a huge difference.
Yeah, I would.
But even if we move down to the even if we move down to the number three running back, we have Alvin Kamara now. So, again, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Kamara is only $7,200 compared to the Christian McCaffrey $10,000 price tag. Yep. Again, you start talking – now we're at $2,800 difference. You talk about war in baseball. What's the replacement value right now in Christian McCaffrey? Is it 4 points? Is it 8? I mean, that's a huge difference.
It is. It's a big difference. I also think it depends what points you're going to be getting in the league that you're playing in, because now you're getting into PPRs. And if you're getting points per reception.
So hypothetically speaking, we're going half point here. All these values based on a half point PPR.
Okay. Well, then I think Kamara is absolutely worth. I mean, either way, if you're getting half or even a full, it's worth consideration. He just got paid, so he's happy. Now you could look the other way and say, well, he just got paid, so he's going to take, you know, he's got money. He doesn't have anything to play for now. But I don't think Kamara is that type of player. I don't think Peyton runs that type of team. This team's hungry to win a Super Bowl. And so I would say, yeah, that's fine. If you want Kamara over run CMC, absolutely for that price.
So we got Austin Eckler up next. Running back Chargers.
Love me.
At Cincinnati. Mr. Eckler is 4,000. Do you find value in Eckler at 4,000? Compared to Kamara or Cook?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for 4,000? Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, did I say 4,000? No, yeah. that was an echo. I'm sorry, 7,000.
Okay. I thought for a second we were about to be taking a lot of money from DraftKings.
Yeah. Right. Excuse me, 7,000.
But even for 7,000, I think that's fair. I think when you're considering Eckler at 7,000, you have to weigh the rest of your team. Because he's not an every down back, but the numbers he puts up sure would reflect one of an every down back. So going up against Cincinnati, I think it's a good matchup. He'll probably score twice, one through the air, probably one through, you know, on the ground, just kind of what he does. So yeah, I think for $7,000, that's absolutely worth a look. But really look at the rest of your team, because you do want balance, and Eckler would kind of be the swing player in terms of your team being, you know, going one way or the other.
Yep. And then a value that's actually gone up in the last 72 to 96 hours or so, we have Josh Jacobs for the Rams at Carolina. He's 6,800. We look at this matchup and we know that run defense on Carolina is not good, right? But are you able to make that gamble on Josh Jacobs at $6,800?
Yeah, I actually wrote him down as one of my favorite backs of the week, regardless of the price. One thing with Gruden in Vegas, they were very implemented.
Is it due to that Carolina defense?
I mean, some of it. I mean, that's part of it. You know, the Carolina defense is not one that's going to ride home, you know, about how great the run defense is there. So any running back going against Carolina is worth a look. Then you bring in a beast like Josh Jacobs, who's playing for a team and a coach that is very keen on feeding him. And so I think that's for sure a good look for the price that you're getting at 68,000.
All right, cool. So those were the top five as far as salary goes. I want to toss a couple guys at you from a value standpoint, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have Leonard Fournette, recently signed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He, again, is at the New Orleans Saints. We've talked a lot about this game. Leonard Fournette is $6,000. From looking at those other backs on the board right now, would you rather have Leonard at $6,000 and put some of that money away, or do you not trust what he is going to do in Tampa Bay?
No, I would spend that money elsewhere because this will be his first week there. He'll probably still be getting his feet wet a little bit. They really do like the other kid there in Tampa Bay running the ball. I expect a passing
Ronald Jones
attack as well out of Brady, and what Arians has just done over his, you know, course of his career. He throws the ball a lot. My guess is that they won't be able to run the ball a lot, especially in the second half. They'll probably try and keep up with Breeze and the Saints. So they'll be trying to air it out more and more. Maybe Leonard will be appealing later, not for week one, when I look at other names that are below him, that are less expensive.
Sure.
So no.
Here is one of my favorite Here's one of my favorite value picks of week one into the running backs. All right. We have Adrian Peterson, Bears at Detroit. Adrian Peterson just signed with Detroit. We have DeAndre Swift, who is not 100% health-wise, and he doesn't know the playbook 100%. We have AP, and we know what he can bring to a team. And we know last year with Kerryon Johnson, the Lions, Kerryon had a lot of health issues. A lot of questions on his knees here. The people in Detroit media feel AP is going to get 18 touches this game at least.
Oh, wow.
He's valued at 4,500. He's valued at $4,500. If he is that featured back like the media thinks he's going to be in week one, he does get those 18 touches. Is this a no-brainer, or is this still gambling based on his age?
You know, it's fine at home. You would think 18's a lot for, you know, coming into a new team, but you would think he is guaranteed to get anything inside the 10, which means vulture points. So I could easily see a situation, you know, where AP runs the ball 12 times, 17 yards and a touchdown. So if you feel that's valuable for your team, for maybe a flex position, I think that's absolutely worth consideration. I would not put him at the one or two running back, though. I don't expect 18 carries, 100 plus yards and two touchdowns, Peterson. But he can provide value at the price that you're paying. So absolutely consider it.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to give you one that it's one of those that I think as the season moves on, we'll find more about, but I think it's a big question mark. We have Sony Michel in New England. Sony struggled without a fullback last year, as most of us knew. You know, we have Miami coming in New England. Sony Michel is only $4,600 against not a great Miami defense. But the question is, how do you expect for him to be used in that Pats offense? And I don't know if anybody can answer that question right now.
No one can. You have a better chance of probably winning the lottery than you would figuring out what Belichick thinks and why he does the things he does. So, I mean, if you want to pay that price for Michelle, he'll get the touches for that price. He should. And James White is actually higher. I see him at 6,000.
Yeah.
When all he does is really catch.
Correct.
And so I think for 4,600, again, if you have a flex opening and you have some, you know, if you spend a lot of money on one player, say a Christian McCaffrey or a Lamar Jackson, and you need a flex position and you don't have a lot of money, I think Michelle is a good pick there, along with Adrian Peterson as well.
Who else do you like, Tom? We look at who else is out there. There's a lot of backs, obviously. It's week one, and there are some teams you don't even know the focus of how many touches they're getting. But if you had to put a back up there now, we're going in tomorrow, who do you like? Value-wise.
There's quite a few I like, actually. I like Mark Ingram.
Okay.
Where is he at? He's at – last I saw, he was at 5,500. He's just kind of the focus point of that offense. I know Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league, but, you know, Mark Ingram's kind of the backbone of that offense. He scores a lot. He gets a lot out of the passing game as well as the running game, and he just comes at a very – cheap price tag. So I think Mark Ingram's worth a look. You have Marlon Mack, who's also worth a look at 5,300. Pretty cheap price, again, going up against a pretty weak-end team that's, quite frankly, dysfunction right now. He should see a lot of good plays go through him. I think the best
– Do you think Jonathan Taylor is going to – Sorry to cut you off. Do you think Jonathan Taylor is going to vulture any of those touchdowns for Indy in the goal line, though?
He might, but Mac, when he gets the ball, he produces. The guy only really needs to touch the ball five times to see maybe 40 yards. And so he's one of those players where one big play could really impact your fantasy team. But you're right. So that's why you're getting a cheap price. And then another cheap price, I think, is Mostert. I think a lot of people have just completely forgotten about him.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast. And I think he's now getting paid. So it'll be interesting to see him try to live up to that contract. And I think Shanahan, you know, San Francisco, they like to run the ball. So I think that's without a doubt a good look. And then I have one more name as well. Sure. We already talked about Jacobs. I like Connor, but he's expensive. So I'm going to write Le'Veon Bell down. Now, I know he's going up against
– Really?
Yeah, he's going up against Buffalo, but there's two things I like about him. One is that he's cheap, and I will never pass down a clearance sale. And then the second thing is that he's going to touch the ball more than anyone else on that offense for the Jets. That includes both running and receiving. And they made that very clear last year. So I expect Bell to get a minimum 20 probably touches both through the ground and the air. And that's just going to give him opportunities. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go off, but he will have the opportunities and he'll get those half points PPR that we were discussing earlier because he is the focus point of the Jets offense. So for the cheap price tag and the amount of touches that the Jets, you know, lean on him for, it's worth a look for a cheap cheap value. So, yeah, but I like Mostert out of all these names.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with you there. If we move into more of the sizzle of the fantasy, right, we've got our wide receivers. And this year, more than any, these wide receiver prices are right up with the back prices. Like, they are our number one wide receiver. I think it's a no-brainer. We have Michael Thomas, right?
Of course.
$9,000.
Oh.
Obviously against that Tampa Bay defense. Obviously with Mr. Breeze throwing in the ball. But at $9,000 for Michael Thomas, that's a lot of money to try to fit in your cap.
Yeah, but it's worth it, I think. Between him and McCaffrey, if
you're do.
Yeah, if you're debating one of the two, I would go – I would lean Tom. Where are you? What's that?
I'd be with you. I'd lean Thomas as well.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because, like, McCaffrey's fine, you know, if you wanted to take McCaffrey. I can't argue that. I just – again, I think teams are just going to be – I mean, I guess you could make the same argument. Teams are going to be focused on Michael Thomas. But the difference, I think, is in Carolina, there's no one else. It's Christian. In New Orleans,
so
you have
– many weapons. Yeah. Right.
So – that would be my only thing. So yeah, I think it's worth nine K. He'll get the looks, and by that I mean he'll probably get
looked at 1,300. So at 1,300 less than Michael Thomas, we have Julio Jones, who is at home versus the Seattle Seahawks. Julio Jones is $7,700. So we look at Michael Thomas at 9,000, and we move to Julio, that $1,300 difference between the two receivers. Matchups favorable to both. Michael Thomas is much better. Tom, at that big of a price difference, is the better value in Julio?
It could be. He'll probably – it's tough to say. I think he'll score. Seattle's secondary is not, you know, elite like it once was. So I think it's safe to go ahead and take a flyer on Julio if you want. There's concerns about his hamstring. That's nothing new, though, in his career. There always is. Yeah, and that never stops him from, you know, jumping right over two defenders and you know, walking into the end zone. So,
sure.
Do you want to take Julio?
Sure. Just after Julio on our list, we have $7,300. We have Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers. They are at the Minnesota Vikings. Davante, obviously the number one target. At that price, comparable again, how do you feel with that $1,700 difference between him and Thomas, or you're saving $400 between him and Julio? Do you feel he's going to put up the same kind of numbers?
He might. I hear from some people around that area that there might be some disarray with Green Bay right now. I don't know.
A little bit.
How much truth there is in that, but it's what I've heard. I like
Devontae. I don't think it's as rosy as everyone feels it is.
He's just – He's way more consistent, I think, than he gets credit for.
Agreed.
I don't know if it's just this perception, but it does feel like just when you look at Thomas, Jones, and Adams, you would think, okay, Adams is the odd man out. But statistically speaking, he scores a lot. And so I would be keen on maybe considering this instead of these two. It would be, you would have to be a courageous fantasy soul to do that. But it's, I think it's absolutely justified in doing it. I have no issues with Adams. He scores a lot. He's consistent. I think he's healthy, and that would be my only concern with Adams is his health. And if he's healthy, I say he's good to go.
You know, he's healthy and he plays against the NFC North, which helps him every year statistically. So looking at that, I understand where the numbers come in.
Yeah.
My most intriguing receiver of the weekend comes in at number four.
Okay.
Chris Godwin is $7,100. Previously to start the week, Mike Evans opened at just over $7,500. However, due to injuries and throughout the week, he had dropped and then officially questionable and out. We have Godwin, who's likely going to be the number one target, I would assume, this weekend for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's $2,900 cheaper than the player he'll be playing against in Michael Thomas on the other side of the field. Who do you like between those two if you were to save the $2,900?
I hate to do a math check on there, you, but on you there, buddy. That's $1,900.
$9,000 to 71.
Yep, 1900, buddy. I'm just here to correct the stats, man. That's all I'm here for.
That boy got him.
Stat guy just killed me.
I had to.
But
very small print.
It doesn't.
So 1900.
Yeah, I would take him regardless of the two. I would take him. I think this will, honestly, you could see a wild, wild west shootout between Thomas and Godwin where they're just going head to head each drive, you know, snagging balls out of the air and getting into the end zone. So, I mean, honestly, if you wanted to bet on a mirror performance that Godwin will match Thomas, you're going to get him at a cheaper price. I absolutely think it's worth considering. And
I mean,
there for the taking. It is possible.
It's much cheaper. It's not $2,900 cheaper, but it's $1,900 cheaper.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, there's not a lot of receivers that enter weeks that have the potential to have a game as good as Michael Thomas. Actually, it's very thin, and it's very rare that you would even put Chris Godwin on that list, but the situation on Sunday stands that it can happen. So I think for the price, it's absolutely worth considering.
So we'll wrap up the top five salary ranked, because up next it is Mr. Hopkins, newly acquired by the Arizona Cardinals. He is at the San Francisco 49ers. Mr. Hopkins is only $6,800. Stat boy, 68 seems pretty cheap for DeAndre Hopkins. You saw a lot of him before. Tom, it's $6,800. Do you like Hopkins on that Arizona offense?
Yeah, he's the best receiver in the league outside of Michael Thomas. You could even make a case that he is better than Michael Thomas. I won't go there, though. We won't touch. That's another discussion for another day. You know, with the cheap.
He got traded this offseason, right?
Yeah, he's no good. That's why he got traded.
I get what you're getting at, man. I corrected your math, and you want to make sure I understand that my Texans lost. And I saw the pain. I'm dealing with it from Thursday, you dick.
Did you see the tweet?
Yes, I did. Blessed or whatever the fuck you said. Yeah, whatever. I'm sad. Continue.
I think D-Hop is playing, of all the athletes in all the sports, I cover a lot of sports, I would say D-Hop is playing with more of a chip on his shoulder than anybody. I think he's out to prove this year more than he has ever in his career because of that trade. And he's got the weapons to do it. He's got the weapons to succeed this year. And you're getting him at a ridiculously cheap price. I don't really care who he's playing with, who his quarterback is, or what the defense is he's going up against. You're getting DeAndre Hopkins at that price. Take it.
You heard it there first. Tom has said DeAndre Hopkins is going for 32 touchdowns and 3,500 yards. Thank you, Tom. No, but on the real, I agree. I think he'll have a very good season, and I think he has a lot to prove. So agreed. I look at another running back. We're out of the top five now. So we look at money for money, right? Another running back that moved last year. We have Stephon Diggs, who is now with Buffalo. Jets are coming in. He's 6,400. What kind of season do you think Diggs is going to have? And is he still now considered one of those big fantasy targets week in and week out? Or now because of Buffalo and the inconsistency of the ball, but the deep ball, where do you see him at? I mean, I think he's one of those players this year where throw a coin up.
Yeah, he is. So you might want to stay away. Because Diggs, he's just not going to have a consistent year. He'll have his four or five games. He rattles off really good numbers, but it's Josh Allen throwing the ball ultimately with a very unorthodox offensive approach to games. I mean, I always say watching the Buffalo Bills offense and the team play is a lot like learning how to swim. Like, it's just a lot of kicking and hopefully you'll hit something. And I think that Diggs is good enough to have good games. It's just that style of football, it becomes worrisome in terms of consistency, which is exactly what fantasy sports is. You're looking for the most consistent players. So I would be weary on Diggs unless you're getting him for very, very cheap against a very bad defense. With that said, he's 6,400 against the Jets at home. That's on you. I'm leaving it at that.
Tom, is there a wideout that you like from a value standpoint going into this week one?
Yeah, value, it was a little tough. I think AJ Green though provides good value at 5,700. He's playing inspired
ball.
The entire Bengal team with Burrow now. They went pretty much from NFL depression to now NFL optimism, completely ends of the spectrum. That includes who wanted to get traded. They drafted Burrow. Now he's ready to go ball. So I think for the talent that he is at 5,700, I think that's a steal, quite frankly. Then you have Terry McLaurin, which I don't think a lot of people know a lot about him, but at 5,600, he's quickly becoming the hell is the guy's name in Washington, quarterback?
Haskins. Dwayne Haskins.
Haskins. Had you on the spot there. McLaurin, I think, he's becoming his favorite wide receiver. He's a very talented player, too. He's just not known because he plays in Washington and they've had a few bad years. But for that
sure.
part, I think he's a good play against the Eagles this week. So you might want to consider him. I still like AJ Green though the most. And then I don't know if I consider this great value, but I like Tyler Lockett. He's 6,500 this week to go up against Atlanta. And then I like Julian Edelman for those PPR points for $6,000 with Cam Newton throwing him the ball.
Cool. I'll toss you one more, Tom. I like Marvin Jones Jr., Chicago at Detroit, 5,500. Okay. And I like it because Kenny Galladay is out. So Marvin Jones will be the number one weapon this week one for the Lions, who have to start off well.
I mean,
he will have targets.
I actually had Galladay on my sit-em list because I had him as doubtful. So that's good. Now that makes my decision easier in terms of that. And then I like D.D. Westbrook at 4,600.
Okay.
Because I really do feel Jacksonville's might just be airing the ball out this year. And Minshew and Westbrook have had a great connection in the 2019 season. And I feel like there's no reason it shouldn't continue regardless of all the turmoil and the moves they've made on defense and the running back position. DD and Minshew are still there and they were good last year. So at 4,600 against the Colts at home week one, he might find the end zone. He might have 84, 85 yards, something like that.
Real quick throw y'all one more too that I've been playing everywhere.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton at 5,800. Phillip Rivers needs Keenan Allen. There's his Keenan Allen. Phillip Rivers loves throwing to a guy that can streak down the sideline. If T.Y. Hilton is healthy, he is going to score a touchdown. That is just T.Y. Hilton. As a Texans fan, I see this twice a year. He's a great play.
I think with T.Y., And with the combination of Rivers, it may take 2 to 3 weeks for them to get that rhythm because of no preseason. But I 100% agree with you. When Rivers locked in on Allen, like that was his guy. Hilton's been there. He's been through some quarterbacks. Yes, he had Luck, and yes, he had those rough years with the other quarterbacks. But Hilton's been consistent. If he's healthy, he will put up really good numbers, I agree, between week three and the close of the season.
And if you go back to the Chargers, San Diego, L.A., wherever the hell they were, there was a receiver there named Travis Benjamin. The sure way was. They run their routes are very similar. They with T.Y. and Benjamin, they are deep post speeders, speed burners, and they run that skinny post route very well. And Rivers loves throwing those lofty balls deep.
The difference is T.Y. can catch that football and Benjamin couldn't.
Right.
We're being honest, Benjamin was faster, but he didn't have the hands of T.Y.
But you saw how many times Rivers looked at Benjamin deep to the point where you
100%.
People would be like, should I even put Benjamin in at the flex? But he's not as consistent. Now you get a pro bowler running those routes and catching those balls. You got to think it could be real effective.
Sure. So you touched on the sit-ems already. So let's just move into the closing. The sit-ems for the week. Kenny Golladay is not going to play for the Lions. That has to be the number one sit-em as far as if the news is there, if it's not there, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to give me – why don't you give me one quarterback, and then I'll toss you a running back. Give me a quarterback if you're not confident this week.
I like that because I really had a trouble – I had trouble coming up with sit-ems, and I came up with two. One was Golladay. The other was a quarterback. So I love the fact that you're giving me the quarterback here. I'm going to go Daniel Jones. I think you don't play him. He's actually got – I don't know why, but he's got – his value is 6,100. And, that, you know, I look at the names around him, Carr, Rivers, Stafford,
right.
Rodgers, and I'm like, why is he that high? So maybe someone knows something I don't. He's going up against a good defense, Pittsburgh. Whether they can carry that over from what they did last year to this year remains to be seen. But, you know, I think a lot of the belief is that Jones is going to have a good year because he's got Barkley, Ingram. It's like a revamped, reset season for the Giants. And right. I need to see it. And also he turns the ball over a lot still. So he will negate points for you during a game. So that would be my concern there going up against the third best defense against the quarterback in terms of fantasy points. I would hold off on Daniel Jones. Feel free to play around with Ingram and Barkley and all the other players. Just marinate on Jones for a week and see what happens.
I'm going to go against what a lot of people think only because I think it's too early in the season. My sit them for week one, but believe it or not, and again, it's because I think it's too early in the season. J.K. Dobbins for Baltimore, I don't think it's there yet. I think at $5,000, it's not the time. I think there'll be ample amounts of time for him down the line. But at week one at $5,000, I can't see it. I just can't. And that's nothing against him. It's just not there yet. With no preseason, no way for him to get ready. I just don't think as a rookie, he's ready to get the carries that's going to represent that $5,000 value.
That's fair. I had Fournette written too, but I didn't want to disappoint you.
No. I mean, Fournette's an interesting one. And in all honesty, like here's, we'll give a bonus one before we get out of here, right? Can you in good conscience start Rob Gronkowski? Or does he have to be a sit-em? The last thing he caught was a WWE wrestler. He has not caught a football in a long, long time.
I think Gronk might be okay for a touchdown week one. The way I see Gronk being used this year is you might see him weeks 1 through 3, then he'll disappear, and he won't be used again until Tampa Bay needs him to make the playoffs, or they are in the playoffs. So I think if you were ever going to consider Gronk at all this year, it would be early in the year. But I look at the names around him. You've got Hayden.
It'd be early before he's hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So you got Hayden Hurst, Eric Ebron, the kid in Miami, whose last name I can't pronounce. Jarwin might have a breakout year. TJ Hockenson is a sleeper for me at the tight end position for week one. I just think he'll get targets.
He'll get targets, that's for sure. Yeah, Galladay being out, he'll get targets.
There's too much value. There's Noah Fant, Dallas Goedert. There's too many names below Gronk that have too much potential to have a good week. So I would look in really – I mean, that's a lot of names that you could pick and choose from right there.
They got him $1,200 over O.J. Howard, man. How do we know that O.J. Howard's not going to get more burned than Rob on the same team?
Right.
Yeah, I like O.J.
It's crazy.
I think Brady's going to use him a lot too, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, big target. Yeah. Tom, anything else you want to touch on before we bounce out of week one fantasy football?
Let me look at my legal pad here. I like Evan Ingram. 5,200 Ingram's probably a good play. Hockenson, talked about him. And then defenses, I think
I actually don't like.
You don't like Hockenson?
Sorry to cut you off. I don't like Austin Hooper for Cleveland at Baltimore for $5,100 at all.
I'm with you. Okay. He was on my bad tight end list for week one. Also because
maybe not.
I just Baker, man. You just don't know. You have no idea what Mayfield you're getting each week. What about defenses?
Listen. Dude, I'll be honest with you and anybody who's listening, I don't pay as much of attention to defenses as I used to, only because the salary versus the points, it's not a make or break per se. Okay. I know a lot of people like the Bills this weekend. I don't trust the Bills. I never will. It's like the Lions being a top 10 defense this week. If Mitch Trubisky is terrible, sure, they'll be a top 10 defense. And if he's not, they will be bottom five. Defenses for me are really tough.
They are.
Did you have one you wanted to comment on?
Just really look at the offense.
Was there one you wanted to touch on specifically?
You might want to look at, New England since they're playing Miami. They're 3,200, and then the Colts are 3,000 against Jacksonville. That'll probably be the most expensive price you'll pay.
I like the Colts
this year, but yeah. So like you said, defenses are tough, especially now. This isn't the NFL decade ago where you could just draft like Oakland and the Ray Lewis Baltimore defense and be set. Yeah, it's a lot more difficult.
Stood there, right? Yeah. So great. So that's our week one NFL fantasy breakdown. I'm excited to get back to football as much as probably everybody else is. I mean, it'll be a very interesting Sunday of me not moving off my couch, along with probably most of you out there.
That crock pot going. Chili dogs.
Right.
And
for Tom, that was Tom.